Yo, what's going on? Welcome back to the Winning State of Mind. It's your boy Alex Davis. Yo, it's always a pleasure to come and talk to y'all and drop some knowledge and just have anyone that tunes in get some value from this. Like, it's honestly a blessing, and I just want to thank every single person that takes the time out of their day to listen to this. It means a lot, and like, I can't even imagine like what this podcast platform could be. It's already something great right now, and like, just everything I've already been able to do, just wow, I'm so grateful and thankful. So just had to get that out the way. Today is in the car, as you can hear, so, and I hope y'all ain't getting tired of these car talks. It's like my second one in a few weeks or whatever, but it's all good. I like to be efficient and kill two birds with one stone. And today is a very good episode anyway, so it's not like you're going to be disappointed or anything. So without giving too much away, we want to welcome to this podcast, Allie Jones.
For the second time.
Woo!
Remember?
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, it is for the second time, but it's just so unfortunate.
The first time.
All right, so our great technology, good old technology, right? Wants to work so well, except when you want it to work.
Yup.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
We kept disconnecting.
It was terrible.
We were just trying to have some good talk, some
and
good
then
combo.
Us actually disconnected, and I hadn't talked to you in a minute.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy
we
to think about.
We went underground, and then...
For real.
We messaged back and forth, and the next thing you know...
Yep.
Run into your brother, and the next thing you know, we're texting, and the next thing you know, you're here.
Back in my life, wow. Reunited, and it feels so good, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm very, 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 very happy that we can actually make up for this. Just because, like you said, that's something I've been wanting to get done for a long time, and it always felt like it was so far away. So, just to kind of get a start, I like to give people the ability to introduce who they are. I don't ask people what they do, because that's like corny. You know, you only do what you do until you have to do. You know, like, that's it. People work towards retirement, so, you know what I mean? Like, who is the definition, per se?
Migo?
Yes.
Migo. So who am I? How do I define me? Is that the question?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't know. It's really hard to define yourself at one point in time, but I'll tell you what I'm doing right now with my life. I feel like that's a good place to start.
Okay.
I'm a graduate student at Shippensburg, getting my master's degree in social work.
Yeah. Well, props to you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
And you're working towards something great, right?
Yeah.
So...
That's the hope.
And do you have any types, like, sort of notion or, like, any idea? Like, what do you think you want out of life?
To help people.
Uh-huh.
Feel good doing it.
Yep.
And just have fun. Travel. Like, definitely do that.
Right.
But my big goal, what I really want out of life, is to really just, like, make a difference.
Feel you on that.
I think about that a lot. Like, in my future line of work, I really, really, like, am focused on working really hard and making a difference in politics and the government and human services and social welfare. Like, I'm really committed to that, like, cause.
That's really fire.
Yeah. So that's, like, what I think about getting out of life a lot. I know that's a corny, like, oh, I want to get a job. Like, I want a work answer, but my...
Not even.
So, like, my profession has a code of ethics, and, like, we have to follow it, like...
Okay.
And I'm, you know, as a social worker, I'm judged based off of my service, the way I perceive the dignity and worth of people.
Right.
My competence, and we have all these different values.
Uh-huh.
We have all these different, like, core competencies that drive our profession, and it's, like, really nice to align with hardworking, positive values.
Oh, yeah.
And to strive to say, like, what I do in life, like, my job prides itself, my career path prides itself off of, like, the dignity and worth of people. Like,
right.
Human justice, environmental justice. Like, we stand on these big platforms as social workers, and that's really cool.
That is. Definitely.
Hey, welcome to Pennsylvania.
But like...
Oh, wait for it. Podcast listeners, you were just in two states at once.
Well, I mean, as long as they're in the winning state of mind, that's all that matters.
Hey, right? Winning state. There you go.
So like... That's what we out here.
You're so clever.
Hey, I appreciate that. That's what we out here trying to do. We're out here trying to put everyone in the winning state of mind and just like get them in a different setting for their brain, just to think, just to look at life differently, right?
School really forced me to like be in a different mindset, be in a different headset, like a different headspace.
Right. And that's facts because you get outside of your comfort zone. And I feel like for a lot of us, like that's our first real time. Where, oh shit, like our parents aren't home, you know, like it's all me. I come home, I get home when I want, like I gotta feed myself, I gotta like do everything, make sure I'm taking care of myself, holding myself accountable. Like, whoa, this is crazy. And then I still gotta make new friends and like get the most out of this and like get involved or just be the best person that I can be. It's like, wow, how can you expect people to always want to strive for great when they feel like they're already doing so much and that they should be compensated. Like, that's enough. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And I feel like a lot of people, they just kind of get in that routine of just like, oh man, like, you know what? Like, I'm just trying to enjoy whatever I can and just like have a good life and like make my family happy or make my friends happy or like whatever. Just like buy this car because I think that it's going to solve all my problems or like anything. But like you're really missing the mark, I feel like, if you do that, because it's always never going to be outside of yourself.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I was talking to a friend the other day about like when I'm getting ready to graduate. So a lot of people are asking me like, what are you doing? Like, what's new? What's your next move?
Yep.
And I was talking to somebody about, like, doing things for my family and, like, wanting to be back closer to home. And, you know, we started talking about, like, what defines home. You know, like, what is home? Is it a place? Is it a person? Is it a thing? And
awesome.
Just being, like, grounded in your roots and, like, is our family a part of those roots that we ground? Do we create our own roots? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was thinking about that.
No, I love that. That's really what we, like... I was thinking about this too. A lot of people have we were kind of talking earlier off camera about trauma, you know, and we all have trauma, and every single person has childhood trauma. Like, that's something that I've learned recently, and it's not like, oh man, I was being abused. It can even be like, okay, well, everything was given to me on a silver plate, so with the high expectations that my family set for me, every time I didn't hit them, I felt like I was worthless.
Do you know what ACE scores are?
No, I don't.
So ACE is an acronym for Adverse Childhood Experiences.
Wow.
And ACE scores calculate a variety of different things that you experienced prior to the age of 18.
Right.
Or actually before the age of 18. I never get that right. It's from when you're 18 and younger.
Right.
Like you assess like what happened to you in that age gap.
Right.
Because that's essentially childhood, like birth to 18. And so this test like studies different things that happen to you, like sexual, physical, verbal abuse. But it has this like all sorts of questions. And it gives you a score, like a rating between 1 and 10.
Wow.
And most people have a 1. Like everybody has a 1, right? Everybody has trauma. Everybody's experienced trauma in their life.
Right.
Most people on average have like a 1.
Okay.
Or I guess what I should say is like everybody has a 1 on average though. Like most people have like a 4. And 4s are pretty high, but like for the most part, everybody has at least 1. So think of it in that context.
Right.
And so the highest is a 10 on this test.
Yeah, that sounds insane.
And school districts want to use it to like better work with the students in their, you know, like struggling schools.
Right.
Like really could benefit from the knowledge of an ACE score and like what they could like gauge. Think about it. Like you could gauge trauma in a school. Mm-hmm. And when you can gauge trauma, you can gauge so many things. Like you can gauge mental health status.
Yep.
And it's like we have these hubs of students just not, like, we're not studying them.
Yep.
In a sense, like, we're not learning from their habits and their behaviors.
Exactly.
And I think, like, a lot about, like, school shootings. And, like,
just all the effects that...
Right. All the effects of trauma.
Yeah. And, like, it brings on. Like, have you seen the freaking... man. It's this commercial, the Sandy Hook Foundation commercial this year.
I did see it.
That took me by surprise. Like, I really did not. For those that didn't see, so pretty much, like, I kept seeing it on Snapchat, so it was a shorter version. But it was this kid in, like, what would be a school photo, and he kept holding the skateboard, and it was like, going back to school, you need all your essentials. And then it like flipped over to.
You should watch it.
Oh, should they?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Then, yeah, check that out.
It's very, very, very triggering.
Yeah, for real. Like, it really caught me by surprise. And I was just like, yo.
The gruesome.
Like,
yeah.
Of it. Yeah. And I feel
it
like there's so many.
Blunt.
Yeah, and mixed. So many mixed like opinions on how that message came across. Like,
I watched people cry while viewing it. Like, they just started. I watched it in a room full of people, and, like, it was just so sad.
It's crazy. But that's what we live in right here. Like, and things like that, it just makes me wonder, like, all right, when did the victim mentality and, like, just all the, let's put everything bad at the forefront of everything at all times, like, when did that become the primary agenda or just, like, the primary focus of every single person? Because there's so many opportunities to spread light on someone. And just, even if it's like, hey, I like your shoes, like, I don't know, I like seeing people light up. And even if it's just like,
yeah.
You know, like, I noticed one thing, and, like, whatever, like, it could be a pair of shoes that I do like or that I really don't like, but, like, even if I don't like it that much, I'll comment on them, because there's nothing bad from me saying something good about someone. So
I love,
like,
complimenting people.
Exactly.
Sometimes I'm, like, obnoxiously nice to people, and I think, like, so sometimes I'm, like, socially awkward and, like, talk too much or talk over people. I don't know. But, like, I just love talking to people. Like, all my friends are, like, whenever we go out somewhere, they're like, where's Allie? Oh, talking to somebody. Like, just talking. Like, I love small talk. I love, like, getting to know people and just, like,
yes.
Engaging with them. If it's, like, I like your shoes or I like your outfit or I like your look. Like, I've just sort of been being, like, unapologetically kind to people and, like, telling them exactly what, like, bam, like, what comes to my mind. Like, like, I'll just, like, tell people, like, I'm vibing with you. Like, you're beautiful. Like, you, or...
That's nice.
You just seem so warm and kind and, like...
Yep.
Yeah, and then, like, also going above and beyond and telling people, like, good morning, how are you?
Right.
Good afternoon, like...
Right.
Really just, like, being kind to people rejuvenates me.
And it kind of ties into this next point, right? So... And I've been kind of meaning to ask you this for a long time. I don't know if we ever had, like, a legitimate discussion on it, but just, like, vibrations. Like, if I say the term vibrations to you, like, what does that all mean?
Like, the literal concept of vibrations comes to mind. So, you know, like, a phone vibrating, a phone buzzing.
Okay.
The vibrations in my car that we feel right now against the gravel, the ground, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think human beings, pardon me, have vibrations between one another in a sense.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah, there's a lot of science behind vibrations is what I'll say. Yeah.
Right. And you can really back that up and see that it's a legitimate thing.
Right.
But
right.
We're so out of tune with, I don't know if it's just things that we eat or, like, with what
it's definitely things we eat.
Definitely. Yeah. And our priorities that we build these false problems for ourselves, you know, that, like, we lose touch with energy and we lose touch with vibrations.
Yeah.
So, like, how did you know that you started to feel vibrations? And, like, how did you know that you could start to trust it?
I think because, like, you know, you hear that common phrase, like, oh, like, I feel like good vibes. And, like, you send good vibes to people. You feel vibes from one another. I think that elicits, you know, there's some sort of vibration. There's some sort of connection between people. Have you ever heard, like, string theory? You know what that is?
Yeah, I've heard of string theory. I've looked into it a little bit.
It's really fascinating. It's, like, all about, like, theory. And I think, oh, gosh, if anybody fact checks me, let me know. But, like, string theory is, I'm pretty sure it's, like, the idea that, like, everything is connected through a string. Like,
right.
One thing leads, well, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens in, like, succession. And, like, everything is connected.
That's slip.
Yeah.
Nah, y'all should definitely look into that, and I'm gonna look into that again. But I agree wholeheartedly. Like, everything happens for a reason, and like I said earlier, like, it doesn't mean it's some ethereal, like, being that has to be in charge of your destiny. Like, it could literally be because you met this person at this event, so they liked your song, and they told someone that, oh yeah, this person has potential. They listened to it, they liked it, then they told someone else, and then they called you. Like, so it's not like it just happened out of nowhere. Like, sure, you could say it's luck, but, like, opportunity plus preparation, like, that's what I'm hearing a lot of times now, equals luck. And I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Just, you know, if I believe in luck.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's kind of just, like, I feel like you can logically explain so much in this universe that I don't want to surround myself or give time to something that you can't. Because, like...
But, like, do you believe in, like, karma and, like, energy?
And oh, yeah. Like, and I can explain that. Like, yeah. That's, and okay. That's why it's, like, for me, like... I can validate energy and karma. Like, I can validate that, and I can be like, look, here's an example of A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, X, Y, Z, that they were terrible people in their lives, and then they got what came to them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, I can do that. We can pull up a video on string theory and watch that and be like, oh, well, see, there's the vibrations, and, like, we can listen to how sensitive animals are and, like, how we're so out of touch with Mother Nature and, like, you know, at that point, okay, I got physical evidence. But when it's just, like, we're talking religion and I can't really validate it with what I consider to be, like, hard, cold evidence, then it's just, like, man, like, I can't prioritize this right now.
Yeah.
Because, like...
Nature's very tangible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, like, think about it. Like, you and I were on the side of a mountain today, like, just yeah. A couple hours ago. Like, you and I were looking on an overlook, like... Show everybody our picture.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, for real. You're gonna share them.
Yeah. I'll show them.
Nah, but you're right.
You know, like, just think, like, we were on a mountain today, and I felt more spiritual and connected to everything in nature, like, on a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. I learned this in my graduate program. The social work profession didn't always recognize religion.
Wow.
In a therapeutic setting. And so we changed that, though. Like, people in the profession changed that and, like, started asking people, like, what their religious preferences are.
Right.
But we also, like, expanded it, like, the profession of social work expanded not just religion, but, like, spirituality.
Right, right. Because
those things are, like, really different.
Mm-hmm. No, totally.
And so I thought that was really cool, like, learning that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, like, being in nature is very spiritual to me, I think. But a lot of, like, biblical references are to nature.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
So if some people have a religious connection to nature, and I think that's cool. I think that's awesome.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think I maybe I do have a religious, like, connection to nature, but I definitely like a spiritual connection to nature.
And spiritual is a nice separation.
I think so.
Because what I learned is that, like, it just through Zen Buddhist teachings more so. A lot of it is already
that,
like,
book I was having you read today.
Yeah, that guy's a Buddhist too.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just cool.
I have one of his books, Zen Technic or something.
Ooh, okay.
Whatever. Whoever Tim Desmond quotes in that book.
Okay.
Yeah. I have, like, one of his, you have to, I'll send you one.
Oh, please, yeah.
I'm going to buy you one of his books and you're just going to fall in love with him.
I have a book that I can buy you too, and it changed my life. It's
the best training, the knowledge of books.
Right, for real.
I love it.
We need to have that more often.
We do.
But, like, this book right here.
Yeah, get off your phone, you losers. Go read a book. No, podcasts, just listening to things on the internet in general, right? You know, you don't have to get as specific as, like, podcasts, but just radio, public radio in general, right? Like, being on the internet and being able to connect.
Intentional.
You do learn a lot. Like, right. I have learned so much through NPR.
Yep.
And, like, listening to different, like, Hidden Brain.
Yep.
There's so many different podcasts through NPR, but, like...
Exactly. Yeah,
you can learn so much through that. So I didn't mean to attack everybody listening and tell them to go read a book. But you definitely should go read a book because books are awesome.
Oh, yeah. But now you're right, like... You learn so much in any setting. It doesn't just have to be a podcast. It can even... Like, I watch music interviews, and I watch all interviews of rappers, musicians, like, music producers. Like, I just watch interview, so I can just keep learning
right.
and learning more about them. Like, and, like, you also relate to them as people when they just talk, and they're just like, man, like, you know, I didn't even think I could do this. And it's just like, wow, like, I remember growing up and just seeing people that are successful and thinking that, oh wow, like, they're just there, like, they're just great, like, they're something that I'm not. And it's like, no, like, we're all the same. We start from nowhere, and we just have to work towards something and believe in something.
Absolutely.
And like, that's it. And like, your time just happens when it happens, and if you believe in it already, then you're not going to give up. So there's no way that you can't get it. Like, so that's wild.
Yeah.
But this book, it's called Unlearned by Humble the Poet.
It sounds really good.
Yeah, and it's 101 Simple Truths for Living a Better Life.
Do you like reading poetry?
Love reading poetry. I write poetry.
Yeah, I do both too.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just send you a really good poetry book. I think it's called Atticus.
Nice. I think I've heard of, like, Atticus before.
Maybe. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I have this really good book. I'll send you a picture of it tonight. Okay. Just remind me. But it's a really good book of poetry.
Cool.
If anybody is looking for a good book to read, I recommend New Power. It's a good book.
Mm.
I forget who the authors are, but I know one of them is the inventor of Giving Tuesday.
Ooh.
Which is a grassroots campaign. It's a global generosity giving movement.
Sounds lit.
Yeah, it's cool.
But get in on that.
The guy that created Giving Tuesday wrote this book with somebody else. And it's called New Power, and it's a really good book.
Man, like, celebrations like that, or just whatever you would really call, like, I don't know, like a ritual or whatever, but just like any type of practice that's just positive and that is a recurring thing, like annually or something, like, or daily or weekly or
that's
whatever.
I think about, like, meditation and the daily, like,
yeah,
it all, the dedication to doing something daily, right? Doing something
always
to better your body and your mind and your soul, like that daily habitual thing is really cool to me.
Okay, so what are some ways that you would go about turning off your mind when thoughts are starting to swarm around?
I get away from my phone. I get away from technology. That's one way.
Hmm.
I go into nature.
Oh, nice.
That's another way.
Yeah, beautiful.
And I'll go running. That became, like, one of my ways of meditating.
That's so cool.
Because I was training for a half marathon, so my runs were, like, over an hour long. So I would just go running, you know.
Yeah.
No, for, like, cool. An hour, maybe 45 minutes at the least on a long run.
Mm-hmm. Just to yourself?
So it was, like, really, 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 like, mindfulness practice.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
And realizing that mindfulness is an important thing, like, when would you say that inception began?
I've always felt like mindfulness is important. I've just always grown up wanting to be mindful. I think I'm different from people in that way. I'm always trying to be mindful. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't have a lot of social media.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just want to be mindful.
Right.
And to me, mindfulness is also like being present.
Yes.
It's very important to me.
Yep.
So I've just, like, always known it. I don't know. Is that a corny answer? Like, it's just...
No.
It feels, like, born in me. Like, it feels inherent. Like, it feels like...
That's good.
Just, like, always have been mindful. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm wise because of it, in a way.
Yeah, you definitely are. And that's just the cheat code. That's all that is. Like,
yeah.
If you're born earlier in life with a whole concept, like, an intrinsic purposeful concept of self-awareness, then, like, you're already 1,000 steps ahead of the curve, honestly. Because there's people that don't even, like... There's people that'll go a whole week and they won't think of any decision that they made that whole entire week. You know, like, that's kind of scary to think about. How do you go without even just reflecting on, okay, well, this thing that I said, why did I say that? And what was, like, around in the situation that made me react this way? Or, like, how did people affect me? And then how did that make me feel? Or just something, like, getting in tune with what you believe in and making sure that what you believe in is always the fullest you.
Yeah. You have to believe in yourself always.
Always.
Really,
yep. And that's something that can't slide. Like, I just put up this poster that I have, like, one of my favorites again. It's this therapist talking to a unicorn, and it says, you have to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
And it's, like, so cool. And I'm just like, man, like, you're so right. Like, I have no other option. Like, I gotta do that. Like,
my mom got me a really cool unicorn book.
Nice.
And it says something like, don't let anyone dull your sparkle.
I've seen that. Yeah.
I'll send you a picture of it. It's like a mug. I have so many things to send you pictures of.
Right, for real.
My unicorn mug, my book of poetry.
You gotta take down a list. Now, in the grand scheme of things, right, because life can be so short, really, seriously, it can be so quick, and we just get caught in the 9-to-5 life, where we're thrusted in this world, in the system, where we have to sustain, and we have to work, and we have to literally just tread water in order to even, like, survive. How do you stay positive within all this?
I decided to really tell myself that I want to live with good values and really good judgment, and to like be truly happy and to like just be the best version of myself. It's about, I think the one thing I've learned in the past year is the idea of showing up for yourself.
Powerful.
That has change the way I look at like happiness and like being the best version of me.
And showing up for yourself, how easy or hard has that been for you?
How hard has it been for you?
Right.
No. How hard is it for everybody? It fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to show up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody out there like battling with like depression or anxiety, whatever, like, I hope you get better. I hope that you know that, like, I stand with you. I hear you. I believe you. And, like,
right.
Show up for yourself. And that's the hardest thing to do. It's mm-hmm. so hard. It's so hard, but it's so worth it.
Oh, yeah. Because you have to. If it's for you, then it has to be you, right? And it's got to be because you want it, like.
Yeah. But, like, there's a lot of, like, systems of oppression that help people who really need, like, mental health services and who really need to, you know, the opportunity to get healthier and to get better mentally and physically can't because of barriers, you know? It's, like, really easy for me to say, like,
right.
Show up for yourself, be there, like, be happy. And it's, like, I have privilege. I have access to things. I can go to therapy. I can, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I can do these things.
Right.
And not everybody can. And it's really important, I think, to be aware of that.
Yes.
To recognize that.
I agree 100%. I think always auditing just if you have any amount of privilege and, like, what can you do that.
Auditing.
Yeah, for real, for real. Like, I consider myself an auditor of my life. Yeah.
I need to audit myself.
Audit yourself.
So far, you've turned me on to have a board of directors.
Mm-hmm. Fire.
And audit yourself.
Shout out Joe Latrell again.
Yeah.
Once again, shout out Joe Latrell, man. Incredible. Like, truly incredible, man. But, yeah, the board of directors, like, having people that you would consult,
right,
that you view as a legend, that just changes everything.
Does.
And really auditing, like, so,
oh,
in terms of ego death, if I said that to you, like, what does that mean to you?
I think you can, like, lose, your ego can die. You can, like, declare your ego dead.
Right.
Like, I'd be like, oh, man, I'm experiencing ego death.
Right.
My ego is dying. I'm feeling defeated. Like, I've had a shot to my confidence. But I also think ego death. I think that's all I think so far.
Okay. Well, I have a band that I love called The Internet, and they have an album called Ego Death. Nice. And so, upon further inspection, ego death essentially, in the world of psychology, is, well, first off, the ego was a term created by Carl Jung. And that was to say that there's three levels of consciousness, or at least, like, of our makeup. And the id, the ego, and the superego. And the ego is our subconscious, and that's what we operate in most of the time. And so, like, having an awareness of, wow, okay, so the ways that I react to situations and the ways I think about certain things, those are programmed in me, and I don't always have to think that way. So let me start being more aware of why I'm thinking this way, or, like, how would I truly believe the best move is for the situation?
Right.
And then you'll start to realize, okay, like, I'm just a regular ass person. I don't have all this figured out on the grand scheme of things. Like, the Earth is nothing. You know, it's small, it's tiny. There's how many galaxies and these constellations and nebulas and all. There's just amazing things out there. And it's just like, wow, like, we're really a speck. Shout out my boy Zaire. Like, he put me on to just the whole concept of, like, when we were talking about, like, having, like, nervousness to talk to girls, like, growing up and, like, even, like, just a girl that we find attractive.
Oh, I'm nervous to talk to girls I find attractive, too.
Right. It's just like, yo, like...
It's so nerve-wracking.
Yeah, because you don't want to, like, screw up or, like, I don't know. You just want them to like you and, like, then you...
I sneezed on a girl I thought was cute. I'm kidding.
So, as I already say, showed how you felt. But, like, really, it's just, like... You can't really prepare for this all the time. And I feel like just the realness is all that matters. And like, it's so hard for people to be real and be vulnerable and be open and just not have all the answers figured out. Like, I'm not asking for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the importance of finding purpose, right? Like, what made you want purpose out of life?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, the person in the back.
Your horses.
Yeah. What? Say the question again.
Yeah, like, what made you want to seek purpose in life?
Okay. Purpose is ever. It's ongoing. It's being chased always.
Mm. Like that.
Wow, that was aggressive. I think purpose. I'm still finding my purpose. I feel like you can find purpose, but I also feel like you create purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can...
Exactly.
I got caught up in this idea of, like, finding purpose. Like, it's out there somewhere on a street corner waving a sign.
Right.
Come here. Or, like, you know when, like, people get picked up from the airport?
Mm-hmm.
And yep. They have, like, a thing holding up? Right, I feel like I'm holding up a sign for purpose.
Right.
And it's just, like, this cosmic joke. Like, mm-hmm. The universe is just laughing at me. Like, oh, there she's waiting for her purpose. Waiting to find her purpose.
No, facts.
And I'm, like, realizing, like, you can create your purpose, too.
Yep.
But there are parts of my purpose I feel like I have yet to find. I do recognize that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like you create your purpose through, hard work and love. And where you invest your love, you invest your life.
Yep.
I really believe in that. That is a song from Mumford & Son.
Well, that's fire.
You should go listen to it. It's really good.
Heck yeah. I love Mumford & Sons, too. So I definitely want to get back into them.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Yeah, yeah. So what do you think the most valuable things in life are? Like, if you had to only choose, like, I don't know, 5 things, maybe even 3, just to make it easier, like, what are some things that really are valuable to you that you feel like in any stage in your life you need?
You said what are things?
Yeah, like, 3 things, and that can even be, like, intangible things.
Okay. I just want to make sure. That I need for life?
Yes, exactly.
So, like, what are the 3 ingredients of life?
Yep, in order to be content and be happy and be, like,
okay.
Oh, man, I can wake up excited and love what I'm doing.
A little bit of spice and everything nice. No, I'm just kidding. Hot sauce.
Okay.
Basil.
Uh-huh.
3 ingredients to life? Oh, God. Love, laughter, and kindness.
Yo, you're crazy.
But seriously. Everybody's going to answer that differently. We're all human beings. Are so diverse. And
yeah.
We're so different.
So for Allie, though.
So for me...
Mm-hmm.
I knew you were going to say that. love, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. Number one.
Woo!
Love. I define, like, one of the key ingredients to life is love.
Okay.
Compassion. And fun.
And fun.
Fun.
I like that.
Like adventure. Adventure would be a good one.
Sounds like a good life to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, we're coming up on about 40 minutes. We're at 35 right now.
Woohoo. Look at us.
This is a pretty good episode so far, and I feel like we could go on and on forever, honestly.
Never ending.
Yeah, just like trying to think about where a good stopping point would be. And then something that I think it would be valuable to hear from your mouth. Like,
okay.
I like to tailor questions specifically for people that I know might excel or bring a unique perspective on something. So I'm just kind of talking about that. What I'd really be interested in, and I haven't had this on my podcast yet, how do you value like zodiac signs and like astrology?
Oh man. I find them interesting.
Okay.
How do you think of them?
I always hear, so like I'm always caught off guard and pleasantly surprised whenever someone's like, oh wow, like astrology, yeah, like this person's a Gemini, I can't date them, like, yeah, or like this person's a Cancer, I can't, I can't, like, have them.
Do you think it's horseshit?
Sometimes I'm like, yo, there's no way.
Like,
and then,
it's got, like, when people are like, I don't know, like when people are looking at their horoscopes and stuff, and I don't know, like,
right,
and they're like, they just like think it links up to, you could read any horoscope for anybody,
honestly,
and it would, I would be like, oh wow, yeah, like, and then you could be like, that was for a Cancer, I'd be like, oh
right,
like, and you can relate to almost any horoscope,
yeah, exactly,
and or zodiac sign, whatever, you know, I mm-hmm. I don't know, I don't want to totally like,
you want to write it off completely,
write it off, because I do think, pardon me, it's interesting,
oh yeah,
just like historically, like its origins, its roots, like the theology behind, you know, the zodiac right. signs and shit is very interesting. But like, do I subscribe to them? Do I believe in them? I don't know. I don't know. And here I am, like, my basic ass, like, has like a Leo, you know, bracelet and a Leo necklace. Like, okay. I, you know, I totally rep my zodiac sign. All
right.
I think it's interesting.
It is
the
really
that,
interesting.
The way that a Leo is described, you know, because I'm a Leo, and but I don't know, because you could describe another sign, and maybe I'll be like, oh, well, that feels like me too. I don't know.
Yeah,
so
right?
It's hard to be like, yeah, I totally believe in this.
Like one size fits all.
Right.
Right. Yeah, and that's a good point. It's always so interesting, and like, I agree. Sometimes you read something on like a Twitter page or something that's like, oh yeah, Aquarius, like Aquarius only, like Aquarius only or something. Uh-huh. And then it's just like, oh, Aquarians are like the most creative person. And you're like, oh my God, like I'm so creative. Like, yeah, I love it. And it's just like, all right, well, like look at Steve Jobs or like look at anyone else that was creative and they're not an Aquarius. So like maybe it's not that special.
Yeah.
So, like, ultimately, it's just, like, it's cool in the fact that you can get a lot done and, like, learning what you think really is yourself and, like, discriminating between, like, what is just everyone. But for me, like, I noticed that you can't, well, I mean, I can't keep it as, like, as doctrine, you know?
Right.
So, that's cool. I appreciate you answering that. Do you have any, like, what valuable gem would you want to drop if you could only, like, say one parting word to an audience that you would, like, really want them to know that might have helped you or, like, that you just think is valuable? You got some time? It's all good.
That is a great question.
Thanks.
I want to leave you all with the gem of... I have a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like advice or some, you know, corny cliche saying.
Okay.
I'm just going to say this. This is my gem. Go get coffee with somebody.
Mm.
And really listen to them.
Mm.
It could be somebody you do this with all the time or somebody, you know, reconnect with somebody. Go get coffee with somebody. Really listen.
Right.
I guess that's my corny cliche advice. Just really listen. Just be human. Just be nice to people and listen. Just listen. Mm-hmm. Really listen.
That's a gem for sure. The power of listening is crazy.
Yeah, it teaches us so much.
Mm-hmm.
Helps us when we, you know, a lot of like cliche sayings that I, you know, that I like, or, you know, it's like all about like getting up and talking and challenging and being the voice.
Right, right.
You know, and sometimes it's like, you appreciate just listening to people, mm-hmm. really hearing them.
Right.
You figure out what to say when it comes your time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important.
Just be passive.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. That's a great ending note. Thank you so much for being on my podcast.
Thank you. Yeah.
That was incredible. That was a nice journey. Ran through some depths there. Might not have had as much time as I wanted, but it's fine. We can always have you again.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Thank y'all all for tuning in. Y'all the best. Y'all the reason I do this. Keep furthering your mind. Keep expanding. Keep growing. Keep stuffing it full of knowledge. And keep that winning state of mind. It's your boy Alex, and I'll see y'all next episode. I'm signing off. Peace.